From Wurundjeri Country, I'm Luke Sidham Dundon, and today on The Breakfast Wrap, we're going to take a look back through the year in sound.
What's been making marine life and humans so sick?
Wind speeds of 100 kilometres an hour recorded.
Parents can now say there's a social media delay in place.
Oh, I know.
Pusa lanimus.
Chicken jockey.
Here comes Gout Gout. We knew we'd see this in the final 50, so let's watch the young superstar rise.
I made him a damn good dinner.
We're going to give you a chance to lean in and listen to the year that was. We'll also make sure you're across some of the day's news, two conflicts that we've been tracking. One that's been getting a lot of coverage, Russia's war in Ukraine, and new comments from the NATO boss warning of further aggression from Moscow. We'll then go to Africa, where hundreds of thousands of people have fled their homes in the Democratic Republic of Congo. From the Radio National Breakfast team, this is The Breakfast Wrap. Well, we're nearing the end of the year, but for Radio National Breakfast, it is the end of regular programming for 2025. We'll be switching to a summer schedule from next week. So we're on air from 6 a.m. and we'll have all the usual news and analysis, but a little bit more of a holiday feel. So make sure that you're tuning in. And if you've been listening to The Breakfast Wrap on Radio National over the last few months, you'll be able to keep doing that every single day across summer on the ABC Listen app. I'll have more details on that later on. So given all of that, our team has taken a deep dive through the year. They've pored over all the moments that mattered, the news and interviews that made headlines, and gave us some pause for thought. So later on The Breakfast Wrap, you will hear an extended compilation, The Year in Sound 2025. It's probably best to make a cuppa now so you can sit down and immerse yourself. That is coming up in about 7 minutes' time. But before that, let me take you through some of the day's news. NATO's chief has warned allies that Europe is Russia's next target for war. Mark Rutte, who's been warming up to the US President Donald Trump, and as you'll actually hear in our end-of-year montage, famously called the US President Daddy, has echoed Washington's calls, and he's urged European nations to step up their defence spending. The Secretary-General's comments come as talks continue across Europe and the US to try to break a negotiating deadlock in the Russia-Ukraine war. Meanwhile, the European Union has handed Ukraine a long list of reforms needed to join the bloc, despite objections from EU member Hungary. John Foreman is the former UK defence attaché to Moscow between 2019 and 2022. Previously, he was in Kyiv, and he gave us a sense of Mark Rutte's comments.
I think Mr. Rutte has a history of some outlandish statements recently. Earlier in the year, he was saying that Brits would be speaking Russian if we did spend more money on defence. He also made some strange claims about Russian tank production. And, yeah, I don't think particularly his claims that we might be at war within 5 years is particularly helpful. I mean, certainly NATO leaders said back in June that they acknowledged a long-term threat from Russia. And I agree with Mr. Rutte that we need to invest in defence and deterrence, but be good for all of us to dial down the rhetoric and actually focus on investing in defence and deterrence in Europe.
Do you think he believes the comments that he's making, or do you think it's a tactic to try and drum up more defence spending or put pressure on governments within NATO to up defence spending?
Yeah, I certainly think there's a tactical approach to get nations to fulfil the promises they made back in June to spend 3.5% on defence, 1.5% on security. But I think there's a risk that Mr. Rutte runs is that he is the Secretary General of NATO. He's not the President of NATO. NATO is an alliance of 32 member states, each of which has democratic elected governments. So I think he runs the risk at times of being seen to hector the leaders rather than working together.
Ukraine's been meeting with EU ministers as it pushes to join the bloc. How does that effort fit in with the wider peace talks that are going on right now?
Well, I think we saw in the 28-point plan, which was circulated maybe a month ago, that although NATO membership was probably not on the cards for Ukraine just because of realism, you know, America and other states don't agree that Ukraine should join NATO, that EU membership was part of that deal. I've been encouraged by the progress that Ukraine's been made towards European membership. It seems to me that the European foreign minister is also saying that the door's open and the work has been done.
John, the US is suggesting a free economic zone in the Donbass as part of the latest peace talks. How could this work? Do you think that's a realistic formulation as we look at this peace plan and how it might come to fruition?
I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding by the Americans. They seem to think that Donbass is a real estate deal, that, you know, Ukraine can give up land and then there will be peace. And actually, Ukraine's been quite clear. It doesn't want to give up land in Donbass without clear security guarantees or clear benefit.
And you were just listening to John Foreman, the former UK defence attaché to Moscow. Previously, he was in Ukraine and he was speaking to Melissa Clark on Radio National Breakfast. Well, we're whipping around the world today. Another region we've been looking at recently, but doesn't get quite as much attention as Ukraine, is Central and Western Africa. In recent days, 200,000 people fled their homes in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Dozens of civilians have been killed by Rwanda-backed rebels in the country's east. The group is known as M23, and its latest offensive comes despite a US-mediated peace agreement. It was signed last week by the Congolese and Rwandan presidents in Washington. Beverly Ochieng is a senior analyst at the intelligence firm Control Risks. She spoke to Mel Clark from Dakar in Senegal.
Well, yes. So just days after a peace agreement between DRC, its neighboring country, Rwanda, which was brokered by the US, a rebel group that has been on the offensive against the DR Congolese army that has been reportedly backed by Rwanda, seized a town in the Sud Kivu region in the eastern part of DR Congo. This town is quite strategic. It is the second main city in Sud Kivu, but also it connects DRC with Burundi, which has been supporting it with fighting against this group. The group is known as the March 23 Movement. Fighting has been progressing ever since then. Thousands of residents have been forced to flee. Strategically speaking, that this puts DR Congo in a disadvantaged position because they're not able to coordinate with the army in Burundi to fight against these rebels. And at the same time, it's likely to cut off key supplies going into Burundi and is increasingly moving towards the mineral regions, which DRC needs for revenues and also to be able to uphold this peace and economic deal that had been brokered by the United States.
So Rwanda's denying that it's supporting this March 23 M23 rebel group, although it seems there's evidence to the contrary. Can you tell me a bit more about this group and its actions in the region and what it's trying to achieve?
Well, yes. Yeah, so M23 has been active for decades in the eastern region of DRC, and they resumed fighting against the government at the start of this year by seizing various towns in the Nord Kivu region. Over the years, there have been various allegations of Rwanda giving it indirect or direct support, and some of those concerns have come in UN reports where they've noted that M23 fighters have fairly sophisticated weapons, that they seem to be very militarily capable, considering the fact that the vast majority of armed groups in eastern DRC simply take advantage of security gaps to be able to continue the insurgency. But M23 has proven to be quite capable.
This comes after Donald Trump had apparently brokered a peace deal between DRC President Felix Tshisekedi and Rwanda's Paul Kagame. So what was really achieved in those talks? Can we consider that effectively broken down now?
I mean, it was always going to be a symbolic agreement. Part of the reason why it was being rushed was because it would boost Washington's and Trump's credibility as a peacemaker. But realistically speaking, there is not much to compel either side from ceasing hostilities. There's still various other mechanisms that need to be applied and that both sides need to commit to in order for a ceasefire to be achievable. There's a separate process with Qatar, which had been brokering a deal directly between the rebel groups as well as the government. There's also various African initiatives being led by the African Union, the East African Community, and then there's various other outstanding issues that need to be signed by both parties. Some of them include humanitarian access, judicial protection, a truth and reconciliation commission, economic and social recovery. The key thing with this deal that the US brokered was because of the vast mineral wealth in eastern DRC, one way of trying to ensure that American businesses can secure business agreements in the country is by holding peace talks, at least at a very political level, enabling the US to leverage that as access into mineral-rich areas in DRC.
Beverly Ochieng there, a senior analyst at the intelligence firm Control Risks. She was talking to us about the situation in DRC from Dakar in Senegal. All right, I hope you got that cup of tea in your hand, because for the next 12 minutes, we're going to take you through the year that was in 2025. It's been quite the year on Radio National Breakfast, from sporting triumphs, state and federal elections, to international conflicts with long-lasting ramifications. For our final program of the year, before Summer Breakfast kicks off on Monday, immerse yourself in the sounds of 2025.
What's been making marine life and humans so sick?
Wind speeds of 100 kilometres an hour recorded.
Parents can now say there's a social media delay in place.
Oh, I know.
Pusillanimous.
Hey, six, seven!
Chicken jockey.
Here comes Gout Gout. We knew we'd see this in the final 50, so let's watch the young superstar rise.
I made him a damn good dinner.
On the 3rd of May, you choose the way forward.
For a Queenslander, Peter Dutton is pretty handy with a footy.
I've apologised for the decision that we took in relation to work from home. It only applied to Canberra.
Around the country, polls have closed.
It's rare for governments to lose after one term.
This could be a big win for Labor.
Now, we didn't do well enough during this campaign. That much is obvious tonight, and I accept full responsibility for that.
I'm really sorry that I'm not going to be able to represent you anymore.
In this time of global uncertainty, Australians have chosen optimism and determination.
Donald Trump has doubled down on his plan for the United States to take control of Gaza.
I don't want to be cute, I don't want to be a wise guy, but the Riviera of the Middle East.
For this interview, I left the patient in the corridor with the family members looking after them, where his legs have been amputated, and all they say is, thank God, will he make it through? That is the best of humanity.
You know what, we basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
The Israelis said more than 200 fighter jets took part, hitting over 100 sites.
We struck at the heart of Iran's nuclear enrichment program. We struck at the heart of Iran's nuclear weaponization program.
Fight like hell. You can't stop them. Let them fight for about 2-3 minutes. Then it's easier to stop them.
And then Daddy has to sometimes use strong language.
We made clear we would recognize Palestine when it would best contribute momentum to peace. September is that time.
Israel and Hamas have both signed off on the first phase of our peace plan. This means that all of the hostages will be released very soon.
The mother of Matan Zangalka speaking to her son on a video call as she made her way towards him. The war has ended, she says. You're coming home.
So we're seeing all the world geopolitics being thrown in the air and now coming down, and it's extraordinary the changes we're seeing in our lifetime.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III.
We need the United States on our side.
As soon as we sign the peace agreement, the fighting will stop.
Where is he? Is he still working for you?
Yeah.
You said bad?
Before I took this position, Mr. President.
I don't like you either.
4 hours a day, 7 days a week. These council workers are tasked with cleaning up the toll from South Australia's unprecedented algal bloom.
This bloom has been, you know, compared to as like a underwater bushfire, but it was just apocalyptic down here.
We've got native scrub here that's actually dying at the moment. That's how tough this drought is. It's the daddy of all droughts.
And while the land is dry, it's the emotional toll that's breaking people.
The Albanese government has done a deal with the Greens.
We will see a National Environment Protection Agency established.
I consider this to be a significant victory for the country.
We are the true opposition in this country.
Susan Lee has been elected leader.
My shadow cabinet will include people who did support me in this room this morning and people who did not.
Who blew up the coalition?
Susan wanted to go through an elongated process of policy formation.
After the breakup,
the makeup.
Shadow Home Affairs Minister Andrew Hastie has resigned from the Liberal frontbench.
The infighting is only escalating.
You have to have net zero in some form.
Make no mistake, we are not pursuing net zero.
A dinner date with destiny? Pauline wines and dines Barnaby.
I made him a damn good dinner.
The method? Simple, a sandwich press, but the steak, top quality Wagyu.
People say the Liberal Party is at a crossroads.
Kelly Sloan has been elected unopposed as the new leader of the New South Wales Liberal Party.
Brad Batten given the boot and Jess Wilson taking the reins as Victoria's first female Liberal leader.
The hopes of the South Australian Liberal Party now resting on the shoulders of Ashton Hearn.
There's no doubt we've got a mountain to climb.
To all the First Peoples in the gallery today, and to every community across this state, we say sorry.
This story would have had to have been the most difficult story I have ever done in my career.
Are Australian children safe in childcare centres?
I don't believe they are at the moment.
Jurors today found the 50-year-old guilty of murdering her estranged husband's parents and aunt and trying to kill his uncle with a beef Wellington laced with death cap mushrooms.
Virginia Giuffre's family has released a statement confirming her death at a West Australian property last night.
Prince Andrew will now be known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor.
This normal girl from a normal family has taken down a prince.
The ABC has been ordered to pay journalist Antoinette Latouf $150,000.
I think it's important we acknowledge not only the apology to Miss Latouf, but also to our staff and our audience.
We can now confirm two police officers have been killed and one injured in a shooting at a rural property in northeast Victoria.
He knows that area, even though we have experts in the area, he will know that area better than us.
The sun is setting here on a horrifically tragic day where we have seen what some are describing as the political assassination of a conservative activist, Charlie Kirk.
Oh my God.
Wait, go, run, run.
He was just shot.
He's got a bob on him.
Police warn passers-by to get back before shooting down the suspect behind today's attack outside a synagogue in North Manchester.
Anti-Semitism has risen to deeply troubling levels in Australia in the wake of the conflict in the Middle East.
Concern for the starvation of the Palestinian people expressed in Sydney on our famous bridge that'll go right round the world.
Del nostro santo padre Francesco.
It is with profound sadness I must announce the death of our Holy Father Francis.
We have seen white smoke billowing out of the Sistine Chapel.
Robertum Franciscum, Sancte Romanae Ecclesiae,
Cardinale.
The first American Pope has been elected.
When I got to Cambridge finally, they were totally horrified. I'd named the chimps instead of numbering them.
La-di-da, la-di-da.
I never said la-di-da in my life until he wrote it. But I was a person who, as you know, couldn't complete a sentence, so.
Basil, do you really imagine, even in your wildest dreams, that a girl like this could possibly be interested in an aging, brilliantine, sticky insect like you?
There's usually something for a Mrs. Richard Bouquet.
How do you spell bouquet?
B-U-C-K-E-T.
Goodbye, Margaret. But don't forget to have a happy life, too.
Oh, dear, sweet man. I'll never forget you.
Well, exactly. Before he died, Ozzy Osbourne said that if he had a funeral, he didn't want it to be depressing. He wanted it to be a celebration, and that's what we've had today here in his hometown of Birmingham.
He was a mountain of a man, larger than life, with a mouth like a megaphone.
Fee-fi-fo-fum!
Hello, world. This is John Lawrence.
Just remember this. Treat other people on the way up the way you want to be treated on the way down.
I came to Australia for a visit, and I stayed for the rest of my life.
That's it.
Yes!
After 29 years, South Australia got the Shield back in their hands.
And the underdogs have
become unstoppable as the Melbourne Vixen.
The Brisbane Lions clutching their way to back-to-back.
She's run down. And the Chooks' perfect dozen comes to a stop on grand final day.
The 19-year drought for the biggest club in the NRL is broken.
And there's the siren. The Kangaroos are the 2025 AFLW Premiers.
But this will be a victory lap for Lando Norris.
Archer!
Oh my God.
Oscar Piastri will come over the line next.
And it's headed in by Mitch Duke. And surely now that's the goal that will take Australia to the World Cup finals in 2026.
I played in the AFL for 10 years for the West Coast Eagles. And I'm a bisexual man.
Now, if you've got no clue about Labubus, well, that's about to change.
This line is proof they're Delulu for Labubus in Bourke Street Mall.
After 139 days at sea, three Scottish brothers have set a new world record by completing the fastest unsupported row across the Pacific Ocean.
Ewan, Jamie and Lachlan McLean are finally on solid ground.
We've still got a bit of our sea legs, so the land still feels a little bit wobbly.
Later today in Melbourne, there will be an ambitious attempt to set a new world record. It's the largest number of bagpipers ever playing at one time.
It's my first big play out, so I'm a bit nervous.
The first world record today was broken with 374.
Rocket has blasted off carrying a replacement crew to the International Space Station, which paves the way for NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams to come home.
And splashdown, Crew 9 back on Earth.
And SpaceX Freedom, splashdown.
Copy, splashdown. We see main chute cut. Nick, Alex, Butch, Sonny, welcome home.
Two worlds united, and they could never tear us apart.
Goosebumps, right? That was put together by producers Joe Sullivan and Kerry Dell. And if you want to hear it again or send it on to a friend, you can find it on its own on the ABC Listen app. Just search for Radio National Breakfast and you'll see it in our stream. Well, for listeners on Radio National, that is the last breakfast wrap for the year. And the last breakfast wrap for me in 2025. Our team works so incredibly hard to research, find guests and present the interviews that you hear on Radio National Breakfast. So it's really great that we're able to reshare them here for you on The Breakfast Wrap. If you've enjoyed what you've heard this year, hit follow and subscribe. Leave us a review if you're listening outside of the ABC Listen app. Maybe even share it with a friend. But if you are wondering where you're going to get your Breakfast Wrap fix from now over summer, don't worry. The fabulous Lexi Junawick will be in the chair right across summer, and you'll be able to hear The Breakfast Wrap every single day on the ABC Listen app, also on your usual podcast apps. As I mentioned earlier, Summer Breakfast kicks off from next Monday from 6 a.m. Melissa Clark will be in the chair, and every interview that you hear from her on The Breakfast Wrap will be produced by the ABC Radio National Breakfast team. The Breakfast Wrap is produced by a pretty gun team of rotating journalists, and today that was Josie Asher. Our executive producer is Eleni Soltis. I'm Luke Sidham-Dundon. Have a good summer, and you can catch us on the ABC Listen app on Monday.